Thank you, Reverend Dean, for his words of welcome. It is a joy to be with you this evening and to share with you this the first rally of the new year. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles. We're turning to the Gospel of John. It is to the chapter 8 that we're going to turn to. John chapter 8. I'm going to read a number of verses together. I'd like to thank John for coming up from Dublin to speak tonight, a very brief testimony. I met John, I think it's, as he said, around about 8 or 9 years ago. At that time, you'd have been glad of a cup of tea if you were like John, because he was living homeless at that time and had very little to eat. And Ran and myself, like Frank, used to pick him up and take him for some tea, coffee, something along those lines, and then went this to him, bring him to church. It was actually at a rally like this. It was in Randallstown that John sought the Lord. I think that was about 4 years ago. But sadly, he didn't continue on with the Lord. Just for a short time he did, but went back to the drugs and to the things of the world. Then it was last year that we renewed contact. He started coming to the Bible studies. We have a weekly Bible study. He started coming with his girlfriend to those meetings. She hasn't spoken to me from that, because John left her and went to Dublin, got right with God. And he's no regrets. She haven't. No regrets. And but she hasn't spoken to me from that. And it was last May that John went to Dublin. The day that he went down, he had a lot of things to get sorted out, to sign off benefits, etc. And also, he had a wisdom tooth that was giving a lot of trouble. Well, when you have a drug habit, like a heroin habit, it's a pain relief drug, and you're walking around in continual pain relief. That means that whenever you come off the drug, what happens is you start to realize that you're sick and you've got pains and you've got illnesses, etc. And he was conscious that he had this wisdom tooth, and the first thing that would happen would be he would have problems with his tooth. So the day that we actually took him to the home, Ran and myself, we had to go down, get his tooth plugged in the Royal, get it pulled out, and then straight down to the men's home. And pray for John that the Lord would bless him there as he seeks to meet with God. It is a Christian-run men's home. It's called Gattery Manor. It's in Talla, which is in South Dublin. It was started a year and a half ago by our brother Leighton Kelly. Leighton was himself a heroin addict. He's a converted drug addict, and he's in fire for God. If any of you know Leighton, Leighton's only a small man, but he packs a big punch. He's only so high, but Leighton is on fire for the Lord. Has his faults, of course. He supports Celtic, Man United, but now if he was here, he would correct me on that, but the Lord has certainly been blessing the men in the home. There are 11 men in the home at present, and they get up each morning. Tomorrow morning, don't want to remind John, but he's up at 6 o'clock. That's the time that they get up. They spent an hour getting their rooms tidy, getting changed, etc., getting ready for the day. They then will have a personal devotion time of an hour. The day must begin right with God. What a lesson there for each and everyone present. You must begin the day right with God. Before you speak to anybody, speak to the Lord. And they wait before the Lord in personal quiet time for an hour. Then they get their breakfast, and then they have more Bible study. They spend, I think it's about 3 to 4 hours a day in Bible study. They also are engaged in hard work. John tells me that he used to think that manual labour was a Spaniard. No, but manual labour is hard work, and he's learnt that. He's a good worker. I can tell you he's a good worker. And the men go out to work each day. Now, I want to thank you for your prayers for us, for John. I know some of you have been praying for John. And then there's another man who went down to the home just about 8 weeks ago, Robert. Robert grew up, as John said, with him. We took Robert down to the home. He was really ill. I mean, he was critically ill. Drugs had just about finished him. I actually thought that he would die in the car on the way down. That's how ill he was. And when he went down, I thought, well, you know, I'm going home to look at my black tie, because he's going to die. But the Lord graciously undertook for Robert. John, as he said, carried him into hospital, literally carried him in a few days later. The first thing he got was a blood transfusion. He's had around about 8 pints of blood transfused to him. I had told him he's got a complete oil change now. He's a new man. And he is getting various medical treatment. He's on warfarin, etc., for life. But the Lord has graciously undertaken, and in hospital, Robert got right with the Lord also. God is working in the lives of these men. Praise God for that. It's wonderful to see men on fire for God. Men who are right down in the very depths of sin and addiction and all the world has to offer. And by the grace of God, God lifts them up. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend of sinners. He came to call and to save the righteous, or not the righteous, but sinners, to bring them unto repentance. And we rejoice in the work that the Lord has been doing in their lives. So pray for John, pray for Robert. And then just 2 weeks ago, we took another man down called Russell. And Russell has been in the home now for 2 weeks. He really needs your prayers. He was on a substitute drug called methadone. So he's now detoxed. He's now come off the methadone. He's off his Valium, all other sorts of medication. He's coming off now antidepressants. And in the next week, he will be off completely everything. And in the home, you would like this home. There's no smoking, drinking, TV, radio. There's no newspapers, magazines, not right. You're isolated from the world. Because there, you're going to be taught the things of God. And Russell, at the minute, is in a very... he's in a dangerous position in the sense that he's coming off all of these things and his body, of course, is crying out for the drugs and crying out to go back to the old life. And we're praying that the Lord will just bring him through. Please take him upon your hearts that he'll stay. 2 weeks ago, in fact, it will be 3 weeks this Tuesday, he overdosed from heroin, had actually died, and he was resuscitated and brought back. And if he goes back to the drugs, he'll die. There's no doubt about that. And I took John, and Ryan myself took John down to the men's home in May. John would have died very, very soon after that had he not got help. These men need the Lord and pray for God's hand to be upon them. So thank you very much for your prayers, and continue to pray that the Lord will richly bless those men. They're up next weekend at the Ballymoney Conference. If you have opportunity to get up, well, I'm sure they would love to see you there. They're up taking the weekend of meetings with the other missionaries. John 8, we're going to read from the verse 30. And here we're reading words about the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading from verse 30, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Amen. We'll end our reading at the verse 36. With God's word open, let's just bow together briefly in prayer. Ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and to challenge us through his precious word. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity that finds us here in the house of God for this occasion. We bless thee for each and every one gathered in thy courts and thy presence. And we would pray for thy blessing to be upon the preaching of the word of God. We thank thee for what our ears have heard already, in testimony and in song. And we thank thee, Lord, for the privilege that is ours to come and to wait before thee at thy feet. Lord, speak through thy word. We know that the only way that God does speak to man is through the revealed word of God. And our Father, we pray in Jesus' precious name that thou wilt bring us each one by faith to the cross. We thank thee that thou art a great God for great sinners. We bless thee, Lord, for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And our gracious Father, we would entreat thee, we would beseech thee, Lord, to rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would flow down at thy presence. We would Ask that thou wilt bless us, Lord, in our souls, and that we would be very conscious that God is here in our midst. Lord, as our faces differ, so do our needs. We all have our own particular and individual needs, and yet we rejoice, Lord, that it is the same remedy for each need. For Christ is the answer. Whether on the mountaintop or in the valley, whether saved or unsaved, praise God, there's one remedy, the blood of Christ. And our Father, we ask that thou wilt speak to each and every heart. Bless us through thy word. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. What you've already heard in testimony, you've heard the reality that sin does take you further than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin leads you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you far more than you want to pay. Most certainly, whenever John, like many others, started out on that life of experimenting with drugs, he never dreamt of the fact that one day he would be, as it were, in bondage and enchained to the drugs and to the addictions of the world, unable to break free, unable to free himself from those addictions. Sin has a very high price. The wages of sin is death. You know, the testimony that you've heard just very briefly is very similar to my own life's experience, how that I went out believing the devil's lie that life is in the world. Maybe there's a young person here tonight, I don't know, but perhaps you have even lately been looking for life and you've been looking into the things of the world. Maybe you've even started to delve into those things. Well, I can tell you from experience, life is not in the world. It's not in the glass of beer. It's not in the clubs or the pubs. It's not in the discos or the raves. It's not in those things. Life is in a person. It's in Christ. If John took the time, he could tell you how that he quite possibly took every drug known to man to be abused. But no satisfaction. Nothing there. Emptiness. Of course, the devil promises through the bright lights, he promises the world, fulfillment. But the devil, of course, is a liar. Because there is no peace, joy, satisfaction out there in the things of this world. And I know we hear so much today about young people who are in despair. Young people are even despairing of life itself, who feel there's no purpose, there's no value in life, there's no worth to life. And that is, of course, because they have followed the devil's pathway and they do not have Christ as Savior. But praise God, there is a great freedom. There is wonderful freedom from sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure that there are many others here tonight. A lot of young people, you could testify, you could stand up and say, you know, I thank the Lord tonight for the freedom, for the life that I have in Jesus Christ. Oh, you may not have walked the road that John and others have, like myself, have walked, but nevertheless, you are headed to the same destruction. As fast as your feet could take you, you were headed for eternal ruin. But praise God for a mighty Savior, for a mighty Christ, who has rescued you and lifted you from the pit of sin that you were in. Isn't it wonderful what the Lord is able to do with a life that is given over into His hands? And can I say, young people, that God wants to bless you. I don't know if you think about that reality, but each day as you meet before the Lord in prayer, you should think of that great fact that the Lord desires every day. He desires your goodness, your benefit. He desires to bless you every day. You think of a life that is taken and yielded to Him and placed into His hands. The Lord wants to bless us. He wants to give to us. He wants to use us. Some here tonight saved early in life. You know the greatest testimony. And I can tell you without any doubt, the greatest testimony is that of someone saved in childhood. Someone perhaps saved 4 or 5 or saved at the age of 8 or 9. One of the greatest testimonies I ever listened to was a young girl. She testified, I've never smoked, drank, lived in the world. I never did those things. I never took the Lord's name in vain. I always went to church. I was saved, as I said, as she was saved as a child. And she said, I never backslid. and to still love the Lord as much. And as I listened to that, I wept. I thought, now there is a testimony to the saving grace of God and to the mighty power of God to preserve and to keep. Because in the midst of a world that is anti-God, that is living against God, a world that is going this way, God saves a young girl and keeps that life pure. And God takes that young girl and uses her for his eternal glory. And that's a tremendous testimony to God's grace. I want to speak very briefly on the wonderful freedom that the Lord Jesus Christ brings and the Lord Jesus Christ gives. What is the freedom that is here spoken about in verse 36? If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Well, can I say there is freedom from the penalty of sin? I quoted already from Romans chapter 6 and the verse 23. The wages of sin is death. The Bible warns us very clearly and instructs us about man's condition and state before God. That man born into this world is born a sinner, born separated before God. You know, in this congregation tonight, there are only two categories, two classes of people. Saved and lost. Those who are going to heaven, and those tragically who are still in their sin, who are facing eternal ruin in hell. That is the only distinction before God. Those are the only two categories of people. Saved or lost. Tell me, are you saved by the grace of God? Do you know Christ as Savior? Can you testify to this wonderful life, this freedom that there is in Christ? Let me say, dear friend tonight, that there is freedom. Praise God, freedom from the penalty of sin. It was Sir James Simpson who was the man who discovered chloroform. Chloroform is a colourless, odourless liquid. It was used as a general anaesthetic for putting people to sleep. His discovery, of course, was a great one. But while he lay on his deathbed, a young man came to him and he said, Sir James, what is the greatest discovery you have made in life? There, as the man's life was expiring and soon to come to an end, he no doubt thought of all those great scientific discoveries. And he turned to the young man and he said, Young man, the greatest discovery I made in life took place on Christmas Day, 1865. That day I discovered that I was a sinner, and I discovered Jesus Christ was a great Savior, and he saved me. Tell me, have you made that greatest discovery? Do you know Christ as Savior? Is he your Lord? Are you born again of the Spirit of God? Are you for heaven? Are you right with God? The Lord Jesus Christ saves from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. If you're not converted, if you're not a Christian, then you, each and every day that you live, are taking each and every step towards everlasting ruin and destruction. Your feet, your face is towards ruin. And the payday for your sin is coming. When you will be recompensed for living without God, for rejecting the Lord's Christ. You know, every time you hear the gospel and it's preached to you, do you know what you're doing, dear friend, in reality? You're saying, away with Christ, crucify him. I will not have him to reign over me. There is wonderful freedom from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God for the one who was the sin bearer, the one who paid the price for sin, the one who is able to reconcile man to God. God who is holy, infinitely holy, man who is sinful, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only mediator. The only one who is able to take the hand of God and the hand of man and to bring both together. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? Christ brings freedom from the penalty of sin, also from the power of sin. This is a great and a most wonderful truth. You know, oftentimes I speak to young people and they say, well, you know, I would love to be a Christian, but I just couldn't give up my sin. I couldn't quit with the drink, the drugs, the smoking, whatever it is, the gambling. I just couldn't live the Christian life. There are others, and sadly they try to live the Christian life, but they fail. And there's not a victory there. And the reason that they fail is because of the reality that they don't know Christ as Savior. You cannot live the Christian life without knowing the reality of the living Christ within your heart. I fear for some that that is a reality. That they wonder why they don't get victory over temptation, over sin. And it's because they're not yielded to Christ and through salvation. How many have found that out? They've tried to live. They've tried to get up the smoking, the drinking, to turn away from those things. And yet, without the reality of a living Christ to deliver them. Let me say that when someone comes to know the Lord, there is wonderful freedom. There is victory through Jesus' blood. In John chapter 1, if you'd like to turn with me to that verse, John chapter 1 and the verse 12, here we read of the reality of Christ making men free. We read in verse 12, "But as many as received him that received Christ, to them gave he power, or the right or the privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Christ gives the power, the victory, over temptation, over sin. It's a great, great truth. No matter where you are in life, no matter what it is that binds and fetters you, that Christ is able to free you from it. It mightn't be the sins that John and myself and others were involved in, drugs and those things of the world. Maybe the sin of self-righteousness and pride. Maybe the sin of having the love of money is your God in your heart. How many there are who are have been taken, as it were, captive by the devil in that respect. And they're far away from God. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God for the glorious liberty there is in Jesus Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. He can set you free. No matter what the sin is that binds you, whatever the addiction is that fetters you. And let me say that there are many, many addictions. And God knows your heart. And God sees our sin. But Christ is able to free you. And the power of that sin. I remember speaking to a young man one night. He was complaining to me. He was saying, "You know, God doesn't answer prayer." Well, right away, I responded. I said, "Why, what have you been praying for?" He said, "Well, I've been asking God to free me from my heroin addiction, but God won't do it." I said, "Well, what else have you asked? Why do you want him to free you from your heroin addiction?" He says, "Well, I just want to be normal. I just want to live a normal life. I just want to go to the pub with my mates and just be a normal person." And I said to him, "God will never, never answer that prayer." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, no, the Lord will answer your prayer when you cry to him and you're willing to give your life completely and entirely over to him." I said, "Are you willing to ask the Lord to save you from your sin, to turn away from your sin, to have a brand new life, to be free from your addiction, free from sin, all sin?" He said, "I'm not." I said, "Well, don't complain that God doesn't answer your prayer, because the Lord will do it in a moment. If you are willing to give your life into the hands of God, the Lord will free you from every sin that binds you." So he does. Christ brings freedom. The penalty of sin, the power of sin, also from the pain of sin. Young people, that's why we urge upon you now to come to Christ. That's why great emphasis is placed upon you as a young person trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might avoid the misery and the pain of sin. For The hurt that it brings and the hurt that it causes, the misery that comes with it. It's often been said that a life or a soul saved is a life spared. And there's great truth in that. Being saved as a child or in your early teens means in the reality that your life is spared from the misery and the pain of sin and the temptation and those things. You see, the devil, make no mistake about it, wants to make a shipwreck of your life. He does not want you to live for God. He does not want you to know liberty and life through Jesus Christ. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fall. He wants you to live in misery. He wants to ruin your life. That's why every day, as you wake up, it's important to meet with God first thing. Because if you could just imagine the picture, the devil's there at the end of your bed just rubbing his hands and saying, "Today I'm going to ruin your life. I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to make it miserable as I can." That's his plan and purpose for your life every day. How vital it is to meet with God and to seek him for the grace and for the help. The pain of sin. In Mark chapter 5, it's recorded, of course, the account of a young man, the demoniac of Gadara. And daily he would sit there, he would cut himself with stones, he would inflict that self-injury. He was tormented day and night. He cried with tears. He lamented. He wept. He had no rest in his mind or in his body. Day and night, the man was tormented. I think in many respects, it's just a picture of that which is to come for the unbeliever. The miseries and the agonies and the pain of a Christ rejecter's hell. And been lost without God. Continually tormented. There he was in pain. Of course, Christ met him in freedom. In freedom from the pain of sin. Christ frees men and women from the plague of sin. You see, sin starts off just so seemingly insignificant, just like a little thing. But very, very quickly it gets out of control. I have never met an addict who set out determined in life, "I'm going to make a shipwreck and I'm going to make a ruin." I've met countless addicts who said, "You know, if only I hadn't taken the first one. If only I hadn't started." But of course the devil's so subtle. It's only a glass of beer. It's only a smoke of dope. It's only a tablet. No, it's not. For many, it's the start on the ruin. On the road to ruin for many. Just the other week, you may have heard in the news about a batch of heroin in Ballymena that has been described as being a bad batch. Well, there's no good batches. It's all bad. But a batch that's been cut and mixed with some other drugs or chemicals, and some people have been overdosing. The fellow Russell I told you about, he overdosed. But another young man, he overdosed. His friends took him, dumped him out of the car, left him there to die on the ground. Young man, the prime of life, the plague of sin got hold of him. Don't think that they ruin your life through drugs and addiction, that you've got to come from a certain background, a certain home. You couldn't be further from the truth. Oftentimes, it's young people from good homes, Christian homes, even free Presbyterian homes that I visit, whose lives are now destroyed through sin. And that's what it is. Not addiction, drugs, it's sin. Let me say in closing that Christ brings glorious freedom from the penalty of sin, but also from the presence of sin. And you know, I'm looking forward to this day. Praise God, as we walk through life, those of us who know and love the Lord, we have a great consolation, a great expectation, a great hope that one day we shall go to be with Christ, which is far better. This world is not our home. We're just strangers. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. In the book of the Revelation, we read of how the Lord is going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. The Lord is going to free us forever from the very presence of sin itself. Revelation chapter 21 and the verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, any more pain. Why? For the former things are passed away. Sin will be banished. Sin is banished, you see, from the courts of heaven, from the very presence of God. And forever, those of us who know and love the Lord, we will be free from the very presence of sin itself, forever with the Lord. What a great expectation the Christian has. What great hope. Tell me, do you have this hope? Young person, do you know Christ as Savior? I want to thank you sincerely for coming tonight. Thank you very much for being here. You know, there's no better place for you to be. There's no better place. Come to the Lord. Seek the Lord tonight. Call upon Him. While He is near, get right with the Lord. There's freedom. Glorious freedom from sin. And praise God, one day we'll be saved forever from the very presence of sin itself. May the Lord bless His word to your heart for Jesus' sake.